On today's episode of the Authoracast, we're talking new things in the neighborhood, specifically Centennial Yards. You may have noticed it across the street from GWCC, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and State Farm Arena, but what all's happening over there? Well, stick around and find out. How we doing, everybody? Welcome to the Authoracast. I'm Austin Simmons, and this is the podcast where we talk all things Georgia World Congress Center Authority, things going on our campus, inside our facilities, the people who make it all happen, and even our neighbors and what's happening around us, and that's where we're at today. Diving into what's going on across the street from us with Centennial Yards. It's a multi-use development covering 50 acres, and you've probably noticed the two towers if you've been down here recently. They topped off on those, and we'll get into that a little bit later. They've already got a great multi-use space in the Southern Railway building on Ted Turner with lofts and our friends at Wild Leap Brewery, but there's a whole lot more coming. So a few weeks ago, I was able to sit down with Brian McGowan, who's the president of Centennial Yards, and we talked about how this all came about, what's going on now, what's coming next, and how it's going to be a huge boost to everyone here in the downtown area. And full disclosure, I got really excited about all the upcoming things, so that was the main focus, but you'll see, Brian's a pro, and he helped cover all the bases, what they've got going on now, what's next, and what's even further down the road. All right, Brian, thank you for taking some time to come over to Georgia World Congress Center and talk to me a little bit about Centennial Yards. It's one of those projects that, you know, it was like with the new Signia Hotel the last couple of years, I would always get questions and people would say, you work at the Congress Center, what is that? Now it's turned into Centennial Yards. Hey, what is that? You know, so yeah, I appreciate you coming over to talk about it.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess just kind of going back a little bit into the history of the project and things like that. I mean, was it kind of location first, or was it, hey, we're looking to kind of build an entertainment district, where can we do it, and then that
Good question. First of all, I just want to say how much I respect everybody who works at the Georgia World Congress Center. I think this is, you know, one of the, obviously, the, in my opinion, the best convention facility in America, and I have a lot of friends that have worked here. I've been in Atlanta since 2011, so I love coming here. I come here a lot. So, although we're kind of, I just noticed there's no windows down here. Right? You said we're down in what used to be a parking structure down here, right? Okay.
There's windows down the hall. I don't have one of those offices with windows, but you know.
You'll move up to that someday.
Yeah. Eventually.
So the story, the origin story of Centennial Yards, it began about 8 years ago. A billionaire, private equity, a businessman from Los Angeles named Tony Ressler made the decision to buy the Atlanta Hawks. So Steve Koonin, I don't know if you probably know who Steve Koonin is. Steve Koonin's the president, CEO of the Atlanta Hawks. Steve tells this story better than I ever could because he was actually there. But he said, we were in the arena and Tony made the decision, I'm going to buy the Hawks. So he walks them out to the street, or if you can picture the street right in front of the arena, to get into his SUV to take him back to his plane. And as Tony steps up on the running board of the SUV, he looks over the top of the SUV into what we affectionately call the gulch, the 40-foot hole in the ground. And he turned to Steve and he says, what's that? And Steve says, that's the gulch. And Tony, being from LA, says, what's a gulch? And Steve says, and he admits this wasn't a great answer, he goes, I told him that's where people tailgate. And Tony said, I want LA Live there. So LA Live, I'm actually mostly from Southern California. LA Live was one of our country's first sports adjacent entertainment districts. So it was downtown LA, next to the LA Convention Center, big parking lots, dead most of the time. Then they added Staples Arena, which is now Crypto Arena. And then they built this really great mixed-use retail environment, and that became very, very successful. And so that was really the inspiration for Centennial Yards. I make up the rest of the story. So Tony gets on his plane. He flies back to L.A. On the plane, he calls his brother Richard Ressler. Richard Ressler is the founder, chairman of the board of CIM Group. So CIM Group is another LA-based company, big national developer. We do other things, but in this case, developer. And we've done stuff all over the United States. And so he calls his brother and gets his brother to come out and start looking at the site and figuring out how to develop it. That's how it started. So it actually wasn't like CIM was looking to do a sports adjacent entertainment district. It was really opportunistic.
Very cool. Yeah, and it seems like South Downtown kind of has a lot going on right now. Centennial Yards, do y'all kind of see that as a little bit, maybe, I don't know if catalyst is the right word, but something that can kind of spur that kind of growth and development on?
Yeah, I mean, Centennial Yards as a catalyst? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have a better catalyst. In fact, it's, you know, it really goes back and, you know, you got to look at what you all did with Centennial Olympic Park for the Olympics. Like, we all know that those were, you know, warehouses and, you know, not a great part of Atlanta. And those were purchased and torn down and made way for the park. And then Bernie Marcus comes along and puts in, you know, an aquarium, which is spectacular. And then Arthur Blank decides he's going to build a, you know, $1.7 billion NFL stadium in downtown Atlanta, which, by the way, they had options. They didn't have to do that in downtown Atlanta, but they were so committed to downtown Atlanta. And then Tony Ressler comes along and buys the Hawks, calls his brother Richard Ressler, comes in and buys this property. And so all of these things become catalysts for the next thing. For Centennial Yards, I think the most important thing about Centennial Yards to remember is that it's 50 vacant acres in downtown major city America, right? So 50 vacant acres doesn't exist in downtown major city America because it makes a downtown unworkable, unwalkable. Like it makes an environment that's not inviting when you have a gigantic parking lot 40 feet below grade, you know, like it's just not inviting. And so, you know, catalyzing is an important word, and transformational is an important word. Those words have been, I think, overused in a lot of real estate, but not in this case, because it is really going to connect what is now disparate, disconnected parts of our downtown and what is arguably one of the most visible locations in the southeastern United States, if you include the blimps and balloons and planes that fly over downtown for events. And so it's really going to change, you know, how people. Well, first of all, we're building, you know, 3,000 apartments along with other things, but it's going to be a new neighborhood. But it's also going to change the way people who come to the Georgia World Congress Center, who come to games, events, and concerts in downtown. It's going to change the way they experience Atlanta.
Yeah, and a lot of what we talk about here, you know, at Georgia World Congress Center's experiences. What are people experiencing whenever they're here? And, you know, a lot of people bring up, come to a convention, whether hopefully you're staying close, but if you're not, you know, say you live in Marietta or something like that and you're coming for a game, or I don't know, you live in Gainesville and you're coming for Dallas Safari Club that we had last month. You might drive in and then head home right after.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
yeah.
This kind of creates that space for people to hang out, have a good time, maybe stay, you know, with the apartments and the hotel, right?
Yeah, and you know, it's not just visitors, you know, who are coming downtown for something. My wife had jury duty yesterday. She's downtown, and there's no place to go for lunch. There's no place to come early and have breakfast. But yes, your point is exactly spot on. Is, you know, right now for a game or concert, if you're from this region or you come here for games and concerts, everybody shows up at the same time, right? Because there's really nothing to do before. There's a couple of restaurants, you know, but not enough. And then they leave at the same time. And so we're all stuck in the same traffic. So we're stuck in traffic coming. After the gamer concert, we get in the car and we're all stuck in the traffic trying to get to the next, I don't know about you guys, but after a concert, I might want to go out and have a cocktail, but by the time you get out of traffic in downtown, you're not interested. You're calling your friends, going, I'm out. we'll see you tomorrow. So this is going to fundamentally change that. And in fact, you know, there are people who come to downtowns around large event facilities like this to be around other fans, whether it's Taylor Swift or it's the Atlanta Falcons or the Atlanta Hawks. You may not have a ticket for the actual game or concert, but you want to be around other fans. And so it's really going to transform, you know, and change, I think, how the world experiences and sees Atlanta.
And you mentioned 50 acres. That is a lot, especially when you're building up. So, I mean, what all's kind of housed in these buildings,
these 50 acres?
What all can people expect? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, So it's 50 acres. It'll probably end up being close to a $6 billion project, probably between 6 and 7 million square feet of space. So mixed use, as they say in real estate. So that's a little bit of everything. So residential and office and bars and restaurants, hospitality, hotels. I mentioned earlier, we're going to build, 3,000 apartments. That we'll probably have, close to 2,000 hotel rooms, boutique hotels and other hotels. We just topped out on a hotel, the Phoenix Hotel, 300 rooms, right across the street from where we're sitting right now. And so it's really designed to be an environment, live, work, and play environment, as they say, but in a more densified kind of a format than probably the South is used to seeing.
And this might not be the super sexiest question, but working in government, we always talk about economic impact and how does that kind of help, the neighborhood, the community. I mean, I imagine jobs are being created, taxes are being paid, all that kind of stuff. And, how does that kind of work with kind of stimulating just the neighborhood, the city, the state?
Starting with taxes, it's property right now that's providing really little to no value to anyone other than parking. And I know parking is important, but there are better uses than parking, right? Governments assess the value of a property and they tax it based on that assessment. So right now the assessment of these properties is very low. So it's not really providing a lot of value to the taxing entities, which are the city, the state, the county, and APS, Atlanta Public Schools. So right now you have a giant piece of property that could be generating tremendous amount of taxes that could help, offset costs to provide services to our kids and to people who live in this city, and it's not providing any value, right? So number one, putting a building on it increases the value, increases the taxes that are collected, and there is an incentive on the property. So Centennial Yards, and I'll explain the incentive later, but there's a sales tax incentive and there's a property tax incentive. And at the end of a certain period, the taxing entities that I named earlier, they collect and keep all of that revenue. So it's a piece of property that wouldn't be generating anything for anybody if not for this, right? And then, obviously jobs, we have probably over 400 people on the job site right now. So you have the construction jobs, right? And then the economic impact of all those paychecks getting circulated two or three times in the local economy. Everybody's eating at lunch, they're buying tires for the cars, they're, buying clothes and things like that. So that's they call it a multiplier effect. So that dollar gets circulated two or three times throughout the economy. But when it's done, there'll be, hundreds of jobs. So all the venues and the hotels, they're going to have permanent jobs throughout the entire environment. So, it's the economic impact is tremendous, again, in a place that's not really providing any value for anybody right now. There's no jobs, it's parking, there's no tax revenue because there's no value. And this is going to change all that.
And you mentioned the hotels or the hotel and apartment building. How's that set up? Is one's the other? Is the entertainment stuff? I mean, if all that's been finalized, I'm sure it has.
Yeah. It's two buildings. The two buildings that we topped out on recently. So one is called the Mitchell. So it's 300 apartments, three restaurants at the base of it. And then the other is the Hotel Phoenix. So 300 hotel rooms. CIM Group has a hospitality division, so we're going to flag and operate that ourselves. We own the Dominic Hotel in New York City and a few other hotels, so we know how to do it. But what's interesting is that there's a large parking deck underneath both those buildings that goes actually underneath MLK. Martin Luther King runs right through it. So there's, that roadway is raised 40 feet in the air. So there's a giant parking structure that connects underneath the roadway. So it's like one parking structure beneath the two buildings. It's a very unique kind of construction, but it's a very constrained site because it's surrounded by these viaducts that are 40 feet in the air. And then there's an active rail line just to the east side of that property, which is one of the most active rail lines in America. So it's a complicated site to develop and build on.
Yeah, it's always fun going between building A and B of Georgia World Congress Center, and people look up and say, "What the heck is that?" Yeah, and it's like, "Oh, it's just a train.
That's a train passing through." That's how we were founded.
Right? Yeah, exactly. And getting to some of the entertainment stuff, I'm going to be selfish for a second. I saw that there's a music venue, correct? And then
that's correct.
COSM, which if people don't know, that's in my dumbed down way, the place where you can go sit there and it's like you're at the game with the humongous screen, the immersive experience. I mean, just what all is kind of going into that? And then, I got super excited about COSM just because I've seen it on TV.
Yeah,
it's insane.
COSM is amazing. The videos of people experiencing their facilities in Los Angeles and Dallas are going viral, right? They're super exciting. So anybody who's listening, I encourage you to Google COSM and take a look at it yourself, because it's really difficult to explain. But the way I describe it is it's like a sports bar on steroids. So it's 70,000 square feet. It was our very first lease. We're very proud of this. They're a great company. And it's basically the Sphere in Vegas shrunk down inside of the building. So it's a kind of a seating area that can hold, I think, 600 people. But it's primarily for sports. So COSM has exclusives with NFL, NBA, Premier League Soccer. They just announced WWE, UFC. And at the games or events, they have special camera arrays set up. So in the stadium, they have a special camera array set up. And that's what you're walking in, this super immersive environment, which is, heated and air conditioned and high end food. So you kind of get this feeling like you're in the stadium, but you don't have to be in the stadium. So it's really super exciting. So we're excited about that. And you mentioned the theater. So we are building it's a 5,000 seat live music theater. So to put that in context, that's the size of the Fox Theater in Midtown. But this is going to be brand new and modern and the latest in acoustics and experience. We will be announcing who that operator will be in the next 60 days. So we're really excited to make that announcement. And what we're talking about now, for those who are listening, is we have the two buildings I mentioned earlier, the Mitchell and Hotel Phoenix. And then we broke ground on another section, which we're calling the Entertainment District. Although the whole thing is an entertainment district, I'm going to be clear about that. There'll be cool restaurants and things to do throughout the entire 50 acres. But this is like the heart and the bullseye center of the entire project. So it's four buildings: COSM, live music theater, another hotel, and then a 50,000 square foot multi-tenant food and beverage building. So we have tons of retail interest, but in between the buildings is a fan zone that can hold 5,000 people. So it'll be surrounded by digital signage, and this is where people will gather before and after games and hopefully after championship games that we win here in Atlanta.
Yeah, and maybe even during, right? I mean, that could be a cool spot to set up and watch the game if that's
possibility. Yeah, and they do that. I've been to the Battery where you're sitting outside watching the game on a screen, and you can actually hear the crack of the bat, the actual bat, not just on the TV or screen. So, yeah, this is going to be a place where people will come down. Like I said, if you don't have a ticket, you can come and experience the event with all of your friends and fellow fans in an environment that is, super safe and super interesting. And the other interesting thing we want to do with this space is make sure that we're curating the retail so that every time you go to Centennial Yards, you can have a different experience actually doing something. So not just eating something, but doing something.
And it sounds like it'd be, obviously really awesome before games, events, things like that, but also something that you could come down and do it today, Tuesday. Well, not right now, today, but once it's done. A Tuesday afternoon, you can come down and have a good time.
Yeah, I mean, the two buildings that I mentioned we topped out on, the Mitchell and the Phoenix Hotel, those will be open before the end of the year in fall, right? And I mentioned there's five restaurants between those two buildings. So that alone is going to give people something to do. And anybody who works downtown knows that there's not a lot of great places to go for lunch. I end up doing the same two or three things every day. It's like, do I Chick-fil-A or do I eat at this restaurant in the lobby, and so this is going to change that immediately. And, we talked about catalytic before. It's obviously a fact that, you get this LA-based company committing $5-6 billion in the heart of downtown. That causes other investment. Another investment is happening. You know, we have, you know, a company bought the old CNN Center. There's the Atlanta Tech Village that's expanding in South Downtown. Then you have our project, like the Signia Hotel. Like, there's lots of amazing things finally happening in downtown. I moved to Atlanta in 2011, and man, never saw a construction crane in downtown Atlanta. Now there's a half a dozen construction cranes up and more coming up. So it's really exciting time to be in downtown Atlanta.
And you mentioned the other projects. I mean, I know that GWCCA is kind of working, I don't know if alongside's the right word, but, you know, looking at different things we can do on our property. You mentioned the old CNN Center building. I mean, how is everybody kind of working together to make sure that it's everybody doesn't have chocolate chip cookies?
Or, that is,
you know what I mean?
Such a great question. Like yeah, I ask myself that question every day. Fortunately, we have great relationships and open lines of communications between all of the entities. You know, Kevin Duvall's a good friend. Frank Poe was, and the Atlanta Tech Village guys, the CP Group. We all talk often, but I do think we have to be careful that we don't oversaturate. Like, how many Mexican restaurants do you need in downtown? And to the point where they start cannibalizing each other. So I think there is this balance, but I think, you know, if you look at what CP Group is doing compared to what we're doing, compared to Underground and the Atlanta Tech Village people, they're very different real estate products. You know, ours are going to be newer, larger format, you know, whereas South Downtown, they don't have large spaces. They're small spaces. They're going to be more kind of mom and pop, you know, homegrown types of restaurants and experiences. So I think the beauty of it is that we all recognize that all of our boats will rise or fall together, and so open lines of communication about how we're all approaching it is critical, including, you know, plans around the Georgia Will Congress Center.
Gotcha. And is that cool, kind of, to have people wanting to work together and kind of make, you know, like you said, high tide rises all boats,
yeah,
whatever the
something
saying
like
is.
That.
I don't know. Yeah,
close enough.
I think people know what I'm trying to say.
You did it better than I do.
Yeah, but is it cool kind of having those partnerships, if you will, or whatever the word would be for that, to, you know everybody's trying to, hey, we've got this opportunity here. Why not? Why don't we seize it?
Yeah, I think that's, in a way, you know, for, number one, unique, but secondly, will be the reason for our success, is that we're not competing with each other, that we want each other, we want the others to succeed. We don't want anybody to fail. That's not good for any of us. So, and, you know, if you think about this collective effort in downtown, it's pretty new. Although, you know, CIM and Centennial Yards, we've been at it for a long time. The other players are more new, recent to downtown. And so there's a long way to go. We have a long path ahead of us. So, you know, some of us will move faster than others, but we're a city, you know, that's going to be around for hundreds of years. And so, you know, economic times change and needs change. And so I think the beauty of it is you're going to see this kind of growth happening in different places at the right time, you know, based on what's happening from an economic perspective. But it also requires a big lift, a heavy lift. This is a heavy lift, I should say. So no one company can do this. The fact that there's multiple entities all investing capital in downtown together is just remarkable.
And you mentioned a few dates. I mean, when can people expect to hop on MARTA or get in their car and come down and check out some of the restaurants, the venues, things like that? Or where can they find out information about, you know, when they can look up and, you know, get more things that I didn't ask questions about?
Yeah, follow us on social media. We have, you know, our Instagram and Facebook and all the other social media outlets. You know, follow us. I encourage you to follow us. But this is happening now. There's $1.3 billion worth of construction happening right now. Commitment, money being spent and money committed to being spent. So if you come downtown, next time you come downtown, you'll see a whole bunch of construction cranes across the street from the Mercedes-Benz logo on the stadium. And that's us. So we probably have half a dozen construction cranes up at this point. It's also important to note that we, you know, before the two new buildings, we had already started. So we bought an old called adaptive reuse, a building that was built in 1905. It was the Southern Railway's headquarter building, and it's on the south end of the site. So there's 162 apartments already opened. So if anybody's looking for an apartment, come on down and take a look. That, I mean, we have they're very occupied, but there's some left. There's a brewery at the base of that building called Wild Leap Brewing. So if you haven't been downtown and check that out, it's a really cool brewery. And we'll be announcing another lease in that building, hopefully in the next couple of months. So, you know, you're really talking about now, like, and more by the end of this year. This isn't like some dream that will happen someday. Those five restaurants between the Mitchell and Hotel Phoenix will be open the end of this year. So that alone, that combined with Wild Leap and the other things that are happening downtown, is already going to change the way you're going to experience and have fun in downtown Atlanta.
And it's exciting too, I'd imagine, with, you know, World Cup coming up next year. We've got the Club World Cup this year, but big World Cup, FIFA World Cup next summer, you know, Super Bowl in 2028.
After that.
I mean, it seems like things just keep coming. It must be exciting.
Yeah, the time, it's scary too at the same time. Like, the whole city, man, we got to buckle up here. This is less than a year and a half. You know, we're talking mid-26, so a lot has to happen between now and then. And I can tell you, you know, I know the mayor is committed to this, and I know you all are as well, making sure that we're ready. And we're pouring concrete as fast as we can. Concrete takes time to dry, so we're going literally as fast as we can. But our commitment is to have the fan zone complete by World Cup. So those four buildings will be in place. They won't be completed interiors, although there's a good chance COSM will be done and open for World Cup, and we're all pushing really hard to make that happen. That's possible as of today. But what we didn't want is for Centennial Yards, the entertainment district, to have a big construction fence around it in the middle of the World Cup and, sure, you know, looking, you know, dust flying out and noise. Like, we wanted to make sure that the fan zone was there and complete and allowing people to have something new to experience in downtown Atlanta, right across the street from where all the games are being played.
And you mentioned it, working as fast as you can. I mean, it's one of those things that it amazed me how fast everything went up, you know, because it was just one of the, and of course, with the hotel on our campus, you know, it was one of those kind of things that I passed by it all the time. And then people would say, dude, that place is huge.
Yeah.
And I'd say, oh, I guess I see it every day. Yeah. So I didn't notice. But then it was almost like, hey, y'all were done.
Yeah. Well, the Mitchell and the hotel we're building, Hotel Phoenix, a floor a week. They were doing a floor a week, which is pretty remarkable. I think your building, the Signia, the same thing. I was watching it out the window. I was like, oh my God. It's like, it's funny. The construction starts obviously in the ground. So you spend the first year just pouring concrete, and we would get criticism. I'd be like, when are you going to start? I'm like, we've already started, but you can't see it because you're digging giant holes and you're filling the holes with concrete. I tell people, you got to pour a lot of concrete in the ground or the building will fall over. So you have to pour a lot of concrete to hold it in place. And then once the buildings start popping above the viaduct, that's when people started really noticing and getting excited about Centennial Yards.
Yeah, when you're driving down Centennial, like Olympic Park Drive, you know, and then it starts coming up, and you say, oh, okay, there it is.
But didn't see that the last time I was down here. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. Exciting. Yeah, it's really exciting. I think that's about all I've got for you, Brian, but appreciate you coming and taking the time to talk about it. I know we've had customers and, heck, people that work here in the building, and they've been really excited, so it's really cool to learn more about
it. See us as a partner. We're all in the same boat together here, including y'all, so it'll be fun to reinvent downtown.
Absolutely. Beautiful. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
So yeah, as you can see, or at least hear, there's a lot going on in the neighborhood here around GWCCA. Some of it already rocking and rolling, like Brian mentioned, more soon and even more a little further down the road than that, but we can't wait. And selfishly, I can't wait for COSM. That looks so cool. If you can't tell, I got a little sidetracked by that. But anyways, thanks again to Brian for taking some time to chat about everything. Check out what they've got going on at centennialyards.com. Again, centennialyards.com. If you're the social media type, just search Centennial Yards and you'll find them. They've got a bunch of followers, so why don't you go give them one more? This has been a production of Georgia World Congress Center Authority. Thanks for hanging out with us for a little while, and until next time, we'll see you later.